This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In our last session, we were studying Psalms 139, verses 1 through 18. We discovered that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by God, Elohim, Himself. He searches us and knows what we're doing, when we sit down and when we get up. He knows our thoughts and our motives, and He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. He created us with a plan and a purpose. He will always be with us. We can't escape Him. He formed each of us in our mother's womb, and we are not a surprise to Him. He saw us before we were even conceived, and He is pleased with us. We found out that His thoughts of us are more than the sands of the sea, and He's always with us. We are never alone. He created us with a specific plan and purpose for each of our lives. We discovered that we were created for His glory, to give the world a correct picture of who God, Elohim, is. Amazing, isn't it, that the Lord our God, the Creator of the universe, made each one of us unique and special just for His glory. We also read in Isaiah 43, verse 7, "Everyone who is called by My name and whom I have created for My glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." We applied this to ourselves, as it definitely applies to each one of us. I hope you had the opportunity to do this. Let's look at three more scriptures that might help us to see why we were born. Now, listen carefully. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Revelations 4:11 tells us, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created." Revelations 5:11-12 says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" We discovered from these verses that Yeshua has created all things, and because of His will, they existed and were created. We also see that He is worthy of receiving glory and honor in the past and in the present. From the verses that we just read, we see that He is worthy to receive not only glory, but also honor and power for eternity. Each and every person was created and will be created by Him and for Him, His pleasure. And He is worthy of receiving glory and honor from His creations, that's us. And He has the power over our lives. His name is Elohim, the Almighty God, your Creator. Now, we've looked at scriptures that have answered the questions, "Why was I born?" and "Why am I living?" You've seen that we have been created for His glory and for His pleasure. Your life is to be lived in such a way as to reflect Him, to show the world the character of God, His love, His peace, His mercy, and His gentleness. We are to live for Him, to accomplish His will. To miss this is to miss fulfillment, It is to have existed rather than to have lived. Psalms 1:17 states, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High, Elohim. In Deuteronomy 10:17 it says, For the Lord your God, Elohim, is the God, Elohim, of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great and mighty, the awesome God. Take some time to thank God and to sing praises to your God and Father as Elohim. Take a few minutes to sit before God and evaluate the course of your life. Are you fulfilling the purpose of your creation? What is keeping you from being or doing what you were created for? What do you need to change? What do you need to do? And will you? Answer these questions honestly in the presence of your Elohim. Then, when you finish, you might want to write out a prayer of commitment to your Creator. Now, let's take another look at another name of God. Now, remember that God's name tells us not only a name with a significant meaning, but also His attributes and characteristics. He is also our El Elyon. If you were to do a word search, you would find that the first time El Elyon is used is found in Genesis 14, verses 19 and 20. Since this is the first time this word is used, we should really take the time to study it, that as we study through the scriptures, we have a clear, concise meaning and understanding what the author was saying and how we should interpret and translate his word. We are going to use the law of first usage as we begin our study of El Elyon. Let's read Genesis 4:18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then he gave him a tenth of all. We usually see this word El Elyon translated from the Hebrew to our Bibles today as God Most High. El Elyon is a name that designates God as a sovereign ruler of the universe. It was El Elyon, God Most High, who had delivered Abram's enemies into his hands. There are some more principles of interpretation that I want to share with you this session. I think they will greatly assist you in our studies. Principle 1, remember that context rules. Principle 2, always seek the full counsel of the Word of God. Principle 3, remember that Scripture will never contradict Scripture. So, as we continue our study, we need to use these principles to further understand God's name, character, and attributes as our El Elyon. Now, we can do this by starting with Principle 1, which is context rules. We read in Genesis 14, verses 19 through 20, that Melchizedek blessed Abram. But did you notice that he also blessed God? El Elyon, God Most High. Let's take a few minutes and use some study methods here to thoroughly understand this verse in context. The story told in Genesis 14 is that there were five kings that had begun to make war, and they attacked the city that Abram's nephew Lot was living in. Now, during this battle, someone escaped and came and told Abram, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, about it. He also told all of the family and supporters of Abram. When Abram heard that his nephew had been taken captive, he led out his trained men. There were 318 of them, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. Now, during the night, Abram and his servants divided their forces against them, then attacked and pursued them. Abram recovered all the goods and brought back his nephew Lot with his goods, together with the women and the other people. after Abram had returned from slaughtering all but the king of Sodom, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram in the Shaveh Valley, also known as the King's Valley. Now, Melchizedek, king of Salem, which by the way means peace, brought out bread and wine. He was a Kohen, a high priest of El Elyon, God Most High. So he blessed Abram with these words, "Blessed be Abram of El Elyon, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be El Elyon, who handed your enemies over to you." Abram then gave him a tenth of everything. Well, let's search for some key words in this verse. We see that blessed is used three times in these two verses, and the verses would make no sense if we were to remove it. He, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abram. Now, he did this by saying, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High." Then Melchizedek blessed God Most High, who had delivered Abram from his enemies. So, let's take a closer look at this word, blessed. It's a verb, and in Hebrew it is barak. It's a primitive root, meaning to kneel, by implication to bless God, as an act of adoration, to make happy, to make successful, to prosper in temporal concerns, as we are blessed with peace and plenty, to set apart or to consecrate to holy purposes, to make and pronounce holy, to praise, to glorify, to magnify, to extol for excellencies. Now, just as a side note, did you notice again that Melchizedek blessed Abram of God Most High? Then he turned to God Most High and blessed him. We see a double blessing being given. The rabbis say that he was blessing Abram. He was representing God to Abram. Then he turned and faced God and blessed him, that he was then representing Abram to God. Does this make you think of anyone? It should. We have learned what blessed means. So let's rewrite these verses using what we've just learned. Genesis 14:19-20 then would sound like, "He greatly congratulated Abram and said, 'Greatly, abundantly, exceedingly made happy and prosperous, and enjoying the spiritual happiness and favor of God is Abram of God, by God Almighty, supreme and most high, maker of heaven and earth.'" Then, "Greatly adored, praised, and thanked is God Almighty, the supreme and most high, who has delivered your enemies to you and given power and possession of them over to you." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Who was this Melchizedek? It was stated that he was king of Salem. Now, that word means peace. So, he was the king of peace? It also was an early name for Jerusalem. So he was the king of peace and the king of Jerusalem. Here's where you want to search the scriptures to make sure that you're looking at the full context of the word of God. Yeshua, our Messiah, is our high priest. The role of high priest in the temple was to represent the people to God and then also to represent God to the people. We see this same process as we see Melchizedek facing Abram and representing God, he blessed Abram. We then see that he turns to face God and representing Abram, he blesses God. The high priest is called the Kohen HaGadol, or the high or great priest. We see that Yeshua is called our Kohen HaGadol in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament. Let's take a look at a couple of these verses. In Hebrews 2:17, we read, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Now, we see a word in this verse that might be unknown or difficult to understand. So I went to Webster's Dictionary to find out the meaning of this word, propitiation. It's the act of appeasing wrath and consolating the favor of an offended person. The act of making propitious, In theology, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and to render him propitious to sinners. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men. In Hebrews 3:1, we read, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house." In Hebrews 4:14-15, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews 5:5 tells us, "So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Hebrews 5:9-10 state, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek." Yeshua, our Messiah, is our high priest. The role of high priest in the temple was to represent the people to God, and also then to represent God to the people. We see this same process as we saw Melchizedek facing Abram and representing God, he blessed Abram. We then see that he turns to face God, and representing Abram, he blesses God. The high priest is called the Kohen HaGadol, or the high or great priest. We see that Yeshua is called our Kohen HaGadol in the Brit Hadashah. So we have seen that Melchizedek was an example or a picture of Yeshua, and many believe that, in fact, it was Yeshua representing man to God and God to man. Now, this is not the time to get into discussion of doctrine. The entire 7th chapter of Hebrews discusses this point. I'm going to let you read this passage on your own and come to your own conclusions. In order to fully understand these verses, we need to make sure that we know who the he's are in this verse. So, I want to rewrite this verse, inserting the proper name for each of the pronouns. So, Genesis 14:18 would read like this, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine, Abram's, enemy into Abram's hand.' And Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all." How many times is the Most High God used in these scriptures? Do you think that the author is making a point? This phrase is used 3 times in these 3 verses. This is very definitely done to make a very strong point. Any time in the scripture that we see phrases or words repeated within a block of verses, it would be as if they were being shouted or an exclamation point being used repeatedly after them. What did Abram give Melchizedek? Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe, or a tenth of all that he had, not only what he had captured, but also all that he had that was his own. Now, this would be a good time to mention that this is what we should base our giving on today. The tithe that is due the Prince of Peace, the King of New Jerusalem, and the Most High and Almighty God. God is our El Elyon, the Most High God. El Elyon is a name that designates God as the sovereign ruler of the universe. It was El Elyon, God Most High, who had delivered Abram's enemies into his hand. Let's now take a look at principles 2 and 3. always seek the full counsel of the Word of God, and Scripture will never contradict Scripture. We do this by looking at other passages in which El Elyon is used. Do they validate what we have concluded in Genesis 14? Again, we want to look up cross-references where we see the term El Elyon used. Now, you can use either Strong's Concordance, an online presence such as eSword, or your Bible Concordance to find other references or scriptures in which the exact Hebrew words were used. We want to read each passage carefully, then rewrite them in our own words, telling how the passage shows God's sovereignty or what He was supreme over. Think about each one carefully. Remember that the Scripture should always confirm or validate Scripture. Let's read Psalm 78, 32 through 35. But first, let's set the stage for what this verse says. God had done many wonderful things in order for Israel to flourish in their promised land. Yet, they had frequently chosen to stray from Him and to serve other gods. They had also begun to take credit for what God had been doing for them. Isn't that like us today? We have issues in our lives. We turn to God and ask Him to help us out of our mess. Then things begin to change, and all is going great, till after a while we start to think and say, I did this, and I did that. It is then that God says, okay, I will withdraw my hand of protection and care from you because you did not recognize me as El Elyon, God Most High. You began to think that it was you that had accomplished everything and forgot from whom all your blessings came. I am going to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. This is again Psalms 78, verses 32 through 35. Still they kept on sinning and put no faith in His wonders. Therefore He ended their days in futility and their years in terror. When He brought death among them, they would seek Him, and they would repent and seek God eagerly, remembering that God was their rock, their El Elyon, their Redeemer. What did El Elyon do for Israel? El Elyon was their rock and their Redeemer. Another verse that we want to look at is Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35. If our El Elyon, was Most High God, is reigning and is our Redeemer, how long will He be so? But at the end of the last period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, El Elyon, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? What or who can stop God's will, purpose, and plan from being fulfilled? We find the answer to that question in Isaiah 14, 24 through 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so it will stand, to break Assyria in my hand, and I will trample him on the mountains. Then his yoke will be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulder. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for His stretched out hand, who can turn it back? What He proposes will stand. It will come to pass. If God has purposed something, it shall come to pass, and nothing will be able to change it. No one is able to stop what God has intended or planned. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secttim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.